Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the Amazon Alexa. For today's podcast, we're very kindly joined by Thomas Balashev, who is a managing partner of Monta Capital. Thomas, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
So, Thomas, you're managing partner of Monta Capital that focuses on property here in the UK. Before we get into the conversation and discussion around the UK property market at this point in time, would you be able to give us a bit of background about Monta Capital and your role there?
Yeah, sure. So we established Monta Capital in early 2020, just before the pandemic really got up and running. It's been set up as a real estate fund manager. So we are raising money from institutional clients, pension funds, mainly in Europe, Middle East and Asia. And we are looking to aggressively buy and invest into distressed real estate. So we've been, in a way, fortunate that the hospitality industrial industries have kind of really taken a nosedive over the last year. So we're quite excited about our strategy. And I think we're looking forward to beginning to execute on stuff this year.
So, obviously mentioned there, COVID, I mean, this is a huge thing for the UK property market. I mean, you set up, as you said, just before it all started. I mean, is it a case that you've had to put on some of your plans on hold? Or have you been able to sort of put some investigative work out through the pandemic and now you're sort of really ready to take advantage on the other side?
Yeah, so when we set this up, we had planned about 18 months before. Obviously setting up a fund and an investment manager takes a hell of a long time and a huge amount of due diligence and capital to make sure it's structured properly. And we had a collective decision that as we were intending to launch in 2020 anyway, and our strategy has always been opportunistic. So we're looking for value, we're looking for ways to create returns for our clients in any marketplace under any condition. That's like by nature what the focus of the fund is. So we've made a collective decision that, look, do you know what, we can't allow this pandemic to push us back 2 or 3 years because it actually might significantly restrict the amount of opportunities we can take through. So the only challenge that we've had is been that the business through the different lockdowns hasn't been able to function properly from the office. I'm in the office today because one of my other businesses permitted to open, so that's fortunate for me. But as a fund, there's a lot of working from home. So that's been the only frustration. And now with the travel restrictions, we're not easily able to travel the world to meet our investors. But those are the only two points that have restricted us. Everything else in terms of analysis, structuring, all of the key things that you need to run a business, we are fully operational and ready to go.
Fantastic. So Thomas, let's now dig down into the UK property market, the market that you're predominantly focused on. So there's lots of factors at play here. But of course, I think probably one of the biggest ones over the last 4 years, of course, has been Brexit. We've come to an agreement at the beginning of this year. I mean, how do you see that playing out in the UK property market? Now, of course, it was a big concern for investors. There were lots of commentators out there saying that it was holding back purchases. Others were saying it would create opportunity. How are you viewing Brexit going forward now?
Well, no investor and no investment manager has a crystal ball. So you can only ever make calculated assessments of the facts that you have in front of you. You make a best case scenario, a worst case scenario, and what's the most likely to happen. So what a lot of investors have done, from a casual investor all the way to an institutional investor, have waited. I've had to play a bit of a waiting game. They make plans for one way or the other, but they wait for the final result. So now we've got some type of deal. We've been able to leave the EU with as best as we could hope for. There's some sense of confidence. So prior to that, people sit on their hands, as any of us do. You want to wait to, no one wants to be the first to a party, and it's the same for an investor. So now we've got some clarity. People can make long-term views now. There's a huge sense, in my opinion, a huge sense of optimism in the UK. And I think we've got an opportunity now to really break away from the pack, reinvent the way this country, this kind of group of countries is seen on the global stage. And if it's boxed correctly, and the government are a huge part of that, then I think we can bring in a huge amount of foreign investment and really change the landscape and the future of the UK for the better.
So, I mean, with Brexit, as you said there, a lot of people have been sitting on their hands there. You're involved, from my understanding, in both the residential and commercial side of things. I mean, is either one of those sectors you feel going to be more heavily impacted by Brexit? And does Brexit present an opportunity for either one of those two?
As I've said many times before, there's no one rule of thumb that extends across investing in general. There's not, right, this is the result, and as a result, the whole investment world can only operate in this way. As a fund, as an investment company, we try and look through the gaps and look for opportunity where the others don't see it. And that's the key to good investment analysis. So for us, whether this was a bullish market or a bearish market for real estate in the UK, we're going to find a way to make money for our clients. And that's the key, I think, with any investment. When you are an investor, whether it's a family office, an institutional investment, just a man or woman on the street, you've got to kind of pick your position. Are you going to sit on the coattails of other people that are leading the charge into a new market? Or are you going to wait and be the last to come into something because it's the quote unquote safest way to do it? So our focus with investing is very, very simple. We have a plan for residential market really floating away and doing exceptionally well. We have a plan for the same for commercial. And we also have plans to make sure we hit the same IRR for the worst case scenario. So key to good investment is preparation. And I think anyone listening to this who has some concerns about what will happen to the residential market, is the good thing about property is it's cyclical, first of all, and also it doesn't have an instant reaction. It's not like some equities that can tank overnight, or something crazy like a Bitcoin that goes up 300% overnight. It has a very, very slow kind of, the wheels move slowly. So proper preparation, and I think people will be able to navigate a good or bad residential market and a good or bad commercial market. But with that being said, the government have done extremely well in the UK to ensure activity within the market has been maintained. They're keeping construction open, which is extremely useful. They're ensuring the delivery of completion of different projects, and that will obviously help the residential market stay buoyant. And for commercial, I have said right from the offset, this work from home thing is not the future. So people will have to work from an office. We've seen evidence of productivity slipping. There's a huge desire from people that we deal with in big institutional companies, lawyers, banks, that are working from home and are just raring at the bit to get back. So the dynamic in the way we work, maybe there's more separation, maybe there's different measurements in place for protection from viruses, but ultimately the world will return to an office. So in the short term, that goes perfectly into our hands to take advantage of office space, because if you have a long-term view to that, things will return. And if you're able to get great buildings, pence on the pound, and debt is really cheap at the moment, I think we've got a really exciting few years ahead.
So you mentioned there government intervention, which is a huge theme in the UK property market at the moment. And what's your view on a few different things here, actually, Thomas? So, of course, we've got the stamp duty holiday due to be coming to an end in the not too distant future. There's Help to Buy, which has been in the market for some years now. They're both considerable factors in increasing activity within the UK residential housing market. I mean, two things here. Do you think when they pull these, that we're going to see a big downturn in residential markets? And could that be a good opportunity? And also, do you think that this is something that's been built into markets, housing markets now for so long, that the government will just keep extending it? Because if they do pull it out, it's going to cause an impact on the residential market there, which is going to be quite detrimental to existing homeowners.
I think the government has done extremely well in certain things, and there's room for improvement in other things that they've done. The Chancellor had a very aggressive plan for stimulus. One of my concerns that I had right from the beginning is I don't think they were viewing the pandemic long term enough. We've now come into a second lockdown that looks like it's essentially going to last longer than the first lockdown. And the country doesn't have a bottomless pit of money that it can keep providing stimulus for. So I believe that when the furlough scheme, the stamp duty holidays end, particularly the furlough scheme. So the reaction, in my opinion, will be employers are keeping people employed, even if it's 75 or 80 pence on the pound. I forgot what the contribution is currently. Once that stops, there's bound to be mass redundancies and mass unemployment. Now, that will then have a knock-on effect maybe from the time that happens in Q3, Q4 for defaults on mortgages. The difference we are here now versus where we were in 2008 to 2010 is that was a mortgage-led crisis. So there was high loan-to-values. There was a lot of poorly assessed loans, and that was really why the subprime mortgage disaster collapsed the economy. We aren't in that situation, and banks, which were the key to it, are pretty strong, and they're still lending, albeit the constraints might have tightened, but they are still lending. So that's always a positive. But I think that the market will definitely have an effect, and it will probably have an effect in different regions more than it will just collectively over the UK. In terms of stamp duty holiday, there's no real confirmation on whether that will be extended. So we're likely to see a flurry of internal activity. You'll get a lot of foreign investment come in now, particularly before the foreign investment stamp duty 2% gets added on, which is in April. So we aren't going to see the end of this maybe for 2 or 3 years. So any investor that is liquid or that can finance and raise debt easily, I think should aggressively look into a long-term view in real estate in the UK. I think it's going to be a very, very exciting time, and property as a whole will be a cornerstone for people over the next few years.
Fantastic. So I just want to touch on now COVID-19, because that's as we did touch on very briefly at the beginning there, has had a huge impact on the UK property market. I mean, where do you see the real opportunity from COVID-19? Of course, I mean, if you walk through central London, coffee shops have been ripped out. They're sitting empty. Offices are, of course, empty. There's reports of people relocating outside of London due to the new working from home environment that even past COVID-19, people see coming to London. It's something they could do probably sort of once or twice a week, as opposed to being based here permanently. I know that you're looking at distressed assets particularly. What type of distressed assets would the COVID situation throw up for you?
Commercial is particularly, and good opportunities for developments that need equity. So let's give you two examples. So looking at the commercial market, the repurpose of offices into some type of mixed use is key. I also think the repurpose of some buildings into logistical and industrial space looks interesting. There's a huge amount of square foot available currently, and that will become bigger and bigger and bigger. And what I think is key is our business having a look at where we can sell these assets to, and whom we can sell them to, and for what purpose. Because if we have a look at the future, we need to think about where London as a big city, maybe Manchester as well, where they will innovate this space to. Because if you have a look at offices, I'll be really interested to see if the permitted development will come back in a big way, whether there'll be a huge opportunity to repurpose a lot of office space across the UK to deal with the continued supply and demand equation for residential homes close to big cities. So that could be really interesting, and that's a huge, huge margin available to an investor. So that's definitely something we're keeping a close eye on. An investment asset class that I've been really interested in for a couple of years now and is really showing a lot of potential is logistical and industrial space. If you have a look at the rise of something like Amazon, that has had a meteoric rise over this last year, industrial space for businesses like that and growing competitors, and perhaps the UK's own version of some businesses like that might present a lot of opportunity to invest into that type of real estate with good long-term leases in place. So there's still a lot of potential. I just think it's about having a long-term view to where the UK will be in maybe 5 or 10 years.
Lovely. So just sort of touching on that theme there again, with COVID, I mean, let's look at for 1 minute the London residential market. Now, when people sort of went into the first lockdown, you know, there was the expectation that we'd see a huge drop in the value of properties. That was actually turned out to be completely the opposite, and we saw some record rises last year. However, there are reports, as I mentioned earlier, of people looking to relocate out of London going forward. I mean, how do you see that playing out for London property prices? And I mean, is it a case that if you're looking at the residential markets, that the better bet at the moment would be those sort of typical commuter towns to look at this point in time?
Yeah, I think commuter towns are very interesting, because one of the issues that I think people will face is that other smaller regional towns out of the big cities, Manchester, Glasgow, London, big towns, I think that their smaller economies may face huge unemployment. So that's going to have a significant effect. I mean, we took a visit to an interesting project in Huddersfield last year, and it had already suffered immensely from the first lockdown. And I think looking at that now, that's a town such as that will potentially be in a recession for a long while. So you have to ask yourself the question with the private rented sector, whether that is a stable investment to go into. Student accommodation in those types of places, I maybe think you need to rethink that. But going back to your original question with commuter towns, yes, I think that's a very, very sensible outlook. People will move outside of London for more space, greenery, the same type of infrastructure that they have in central London. But London is London. It's geographically one of the most important cities, capital cities in the world. It has a very established financial services industry. It has huge potential for innovation in the fintech world, looking over to East London and the great work that they're doing there. So London is London. It will always be an extremely important city in the planet. So therefore, property prices will always be relatively stable for the long term. And I think even at the most bullish assessment of prime central London is maybe only predicting maybe a 2-3% rise in 2021. So even if there's a small drop, it's still an extremely important long-term bet. You don't invest into London for capital growth. That it doesn't exceed other parts of the UK anyway. But as a cornerstone investment in property, it will still perform very well over a 10-year period. So I think it would be foolish to think that London is a place that you just don't invest in anymore.
Of course. So, of course, we discussed there a number of factors at play in the property market at the moment. Now, you're focused on distressed assets, and that's obviously looking at a time where there's severe economic turbulence there that will present these opportunities. We haven't yet seen that in the property market so far, particularly the residential market. When do you actually see this coming? Because, you know, as soon as we went into lockdown, everybody was saying we're going to see property prices fall. That didn't happen. Of course, we've seen rents fall to some extent. Speaking to an estate agent the other day in London, said it's one of the worst rental markets they've seen for years. But the prices are still remaining elevated. When do we see this carnage that people may be looking for in prices? Is that going to come this year, or is it something that could be prolonged out further into the future?
I mean, the definition of distressed assets doesn't mean there's like an apocalyptic situation for property prices across the whole of the UK, because that's bad for everyone. That'd have a knock-on effect all over. There's going to be a percentage of property that you would class as distressed. And it could be something as simple as a developer that's over-leveraged, that needs to sell in order to kind of pay back the debt that they've taken out, which means that you get property well below market value. But the scheme as a whole still has a lot of potential. That's the kind of thing that we're looking for. We're looking for ways that we can create value. We can incrementally increase rents and cash flow of the property over maybe a 5 year, 3 to 5 year period. So when we come out of this hell that we're in currently in the next 3 to 5 years, we've got a really strong cash flowing building that has been repurposed and maybe had a new skin over it, and it's increased in value. And that margin there is where we're able to create significant returns for our clients. And also an interesting thing to look at is the bridging market. I think that as a whole, that type of debt play will increase heavily. There'll be a lot of people that have equity in their properties that I believe will look to bridging as a way of drawing out funds in order to continue financing and continue investing into other property ventures that they're looking at. So I think the bridging market, there was growth of that last year. It grew exponentially, and I think it will continue to become a major debt market in the UK over the next 3 years.
Lovely. So, Thomas, just to finish off now, million-dollar question. Property investors based in the UK looking at opportunities in the UK in 2021, which would you say is going to produce the better opportunities for longer-term investments? Is it going to be the commercial sector or the residential sector?
It's impossible to have a broad answer to that. It's a great question. I wouldn't give one overall answer that people should follow. People have to think about what's right for them. Are they investing for growth? Are they investing for cash flow? That's your first question. Is it about receiving income? If that's the case, then you would stick to residential. A lower rental yield is better than rental voids from failure of businesses in the commercial market. I think if you're developing, there's a huge scope in converting commercial into mixed use and possibly even permitted development into residential. They would need to assess that. I think it's going to be a monetary thing. Above £1 million, there's a lot of options for people. I think there's a huge amount of potential in towns outside of London, in that commuter belt, Surrey, Hertfordshire, Essex, Kent, that will have continual growth. So if I was an investor, not thinking with an institutional hat on, I would be looking at where I could acquire property below market value with multiple units. So not looking at just one home, one buy to let. I think that is maybe a difficult play. But if I could look at investing into 3 or 4 homes in a town that has a lot of growth potential, that has strong economy, that can rent well, then that would be my advice to people who are considering investing into real estate. And if they have huge amounts of money and they can acquire logistical space, then I think you're writing your own return there.
Fantastic. Thomas, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for your time, and have a great day.
So just a reminder to listeners, that was Thomas Balashev, who's a managing partner of Ronta Capital. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.